I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's a sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that. That valuable service, she's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You're tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. And two guys, two well-known guys in the area reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code Momentum. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 203, Casey Goss. Casey Goss is Viral Launch. Viral Launch is Casey Goss. And it's so apparent when you spend some time with him. He loves, loves, loves what he does. His brain thinks way faster than his mouth can get it out. You can't spend but a minute with him when he's jumping in his seat. He's getting excited because he wants to get it out faster. So smart, spooky smart, actually. And this was a great interview because I got to sit down across from him live and record this. And what was cool for me was this is the first time he's been recorded live in a podcast form. And that was really exciting. But we go into a really deep conversation, not where I expected to go, but I love it. And I really like this kid. Let's get into the podcast.
All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. I'm very, very excited. I'm very lucky because I have Casey Goss from Viral Launch. Actually, I can look him in the eye. And this is a live recording that we're doing in Breckenridge, Colorado. Welcome, Casey.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it because we've been chasing each other. Last time I tried to do the call, you were in China.
Yeah.
And we had just a terrible connection. But, you know, I don't know what time it was. Was it like 12 hours difference from where I was? So I'm talking to you late at night in my time, and it's early your time. You're like, oh, I didn't really get any sleep, Steve. But you were gracious enough to try, and we just couldn't make it happen. But fortune would have it, you decided to come to this retreat.
Yeah.
Now, this is a private label retreat put on by Andy Slamons of Amazing Freedom, Liron Hirschkorn, and Andy's nephew, Nate. Why would you come to a conference like this? I was thinking about that, you know, like, why? I mean, you're busy. I mean, you just got back from China a couple times, and I want to get in your story, but I just thought about that. Why would you come to a conference like that?
So, a couple of reasons. One, Andy and Liron have been doing a lot of stuff for us, so I want to give back. Like, they've been, you know, promoting our stuff or sharing it.
Not getting paid either.
Yeah, not at
all. Just because they believe in the product.
Right. Okay. And so I really appreciate that. Also, right now, I'm big on, I don't know, growing the Viral Launch brand, and I think that there's a lot of benefit to me coming and interacting with people one-on-one, like us getting to talk, for example.
You know, it's funny you say that because you are also a Gary Vee fan, a Gary Vaynerchuk fan, and I am too. And we have a mutual acquaintance in that circle, so it's really a small world. But that's exactly what he's doing. He says you can scale up these relationships one person at a time.
Right.
And you're living out that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because I've seen your name in a whole bunch of events, and you're meeting every single person. That's intentional, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And like we were talking about earlier, like I love helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for me to not do stuff like this because I want to be able to spend time with them and like give them the time and stuff that they need.
I think it's so important. I could see it in your eyes. That's real. And I think the thing about giving back, I mean, I'm sure you're making a ton of money, but there's more to life than money,
right?
Isn't there? At some point, it's like, okay, I mean, you saw these people's eyes when they're, I mean, you're up in the front of the room. You already spoke once and you're going to be speaking again. And I saw their eyes lighting up because you get excited. I mean,
you love
and breathe this stuff. I mean, you're like jumping out of your skin like a Gary Vee. But it was so cool to see their eyes lighting up and like, oh my God, I could do this. And it was like, does that fire you up even more?
Oh yeah. Yeah. used to think of myself as an introvert, but lately, like, I get so much energy from talking about this stuff with everybody, and like, especially like you're saying, when people really start to get the concept, that gives me a lot of energy. So yeah, I don't know.
I think it's very exciting, and it's got to be very warm. I know when somebody says something about podcasts, oh, you're very nice, you know, I love your voice. I get it. It really gives me energy to do it again.
Oh,
and to get up and do it again. So you are not an Amazon seller, so we'll put that out there now. You're not, and it's intentional, and I appreciate that. We'll talk about that. But you didn't start out in this business saying, man, I've got this great concept, I'm going to go do this.
Yeah.
Walk us back. You were in – when did you touch a computer? That's what I want to know.
I mean, just growing up, like, I've always loved computers and video games and stuff like that.
I mean, were you a high school coder? Were you one of those guys? No.
No.
And so you didn't take all these thousands of computer classes and spend all this time?
No. I wanted to grow up and work in the corporate world and like work my way up the ladder, because like I love to work hard, and so I like to see that kind of improvement, I guess.
And what were you going
to
do? I mean, did you have a vision? Were you
something
gonna
in marketing, something creative?
Okay.
Like I have a lot of ideas. Like I like the creativity side of business and coming up with ideas and then trying to execute on them. So that's what I wanted to do, and then a couple of things started happening. I was reading more and more. And my professors, because I went to college, and my professors were starting to contradict what I'm reading, like from these Fortune 500s.
Okay, so give me an example. Do you remember one? I mean, I know I'm pushing you back, because you're not the first person that's told me that. Actually, I have an episode coming out this week, which is not out yet, but it'll be out before this, where they said the same thing. They were selling on Amazon, selling a couple hundred thousand dollars, so they had a business, goes to school, he's taking business classes, and he's like, wait, that's not the business. That's not what today's business is. And he was like frustrated, and he ended up quitting.
Yeah.
So you had similar?
Yeah, I don't have a concrete example. And I really started to love technology more and more. And, you know, my professors, they didn't even know how to operate an iPhone or anything like that. And technology and business are like synonymous almost nowadays. And so they didn't get it.
They're completely integrated. Right. Unless you're in one of those giant old institution where they don't have to worry about revenue,
right,
government, or in a college where they could just keep raising tuition rates, right, and just keep thinking about it.
Yeah. So I was getting extremely frustrated with that. And really, I started to, this guy, he's actually now a friend, but he came into the class and started talking about all these entrepreneurial things that he was doing in college to make money. And it kind of changed my mind. My dad's an engineer, and I kind of feel like I've always had that mindset of like, follow the rules. And there's like something that kind of just started to trip there. And so I started trying to come up with all these ideas for like businesses, but all my ideas were app ideas. And so I couldn't do anything about them. And I'm someone that likes to take action on like something I believe. And so I was like,
because you would have had to go and hire a developer somewhere.
I didn't have money.
And then try to communicate. Right. You didn't have that.
And I want to validate something before I really go into it. And so I was like, well, I guess I need to learn coding then. And
no,
so
hold on. How old are you?
This is my sophomore year of college.
Okay. So 20, 19?
Yeah.
19, probably 19. You decide, you know what? I got an idea. I want to do it. So I'm just going to go learn to code.
Yeah.
I mean, do you understand? I mean, you haven't had any of the preparation, because the guys who were the computer coders, most of them started in high school, right? They started developing. I interviewed a kid who was 18, 19, who's quit college for the same reason. He's like, yeah, they wanted me, they were like, oh, for your graduation thing, you're going to develop an app. He's like, what about the six I've already developed? You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, so here you are, 19, never had a stitch of coding.
Right. And
but is it a, let me ask this question, because this is important to me. Is it, can you see where the code has to go? I mean, is that what you have more so than the technical?
Yeah, it's like, basically, I learn to code what I need to.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. So I'm not, you know, studying the history of Python and how that came to be and what was before that. I'm like, I need to build, you know, a login screen. What technologies do I use? What is simplest to get going? And then I learn that aspect.
And so as you approach that, are you building it in your mind? I mean, are you saying I need a login screen because the login screen is going to take me to the next place, to the next place? How many steps out are you in your mind?
Yeah. I have a good idea, but I'm huge on I don't know what I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And so like that kind of cripples me from one step to the next, because I can think that it's going to be this, but when I build that login screen, then I'm like, oh, well, I also need to build a forgot password screen or something like that. And so as you like walk through it, it starts to kind of unfold a lot easier, in my opinion.
And so, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking about that, back to your dad, the engineer, he would be, you know, we'd have this big plan and it would be all this, you know, mapped out, yeah, and everything would be steps and stages. And then here you are kind of, all right, I'll develop this piece. And then I'm, all right, now I guess I'm going to have to do this piece.
Yeah. I'm going to jump into things and figure out, okay, now that I'm in it, now I really know what the landscape looks like and I can adjust from there. I'm like a really reactive person, because you can plan and plan all day. And then, you know, what actually...
If you don't take action, right, yeah, we're sitting through a course talking, yeah, exactly about that.
Well, issue. And you can plan out all these things and then you get into it. And then you realize that nothing is actually going according to plan, or things are a lot different than you had had anticipated. So I want to know exactly what it is, and I want to react really quickly.
Was it easy for you?
It was really fun. Like, I've always loved math and like science, and like I like those kinds of things. So it was a lot of fun. It was really tough. So I ran track in college, and I was like going to school, and so like I was barely sleeping, because like all my free time at night after like homework and stuff is when I was learning to code. So,
and you were still at that point, you were still going to school.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so you're want to develop something, and were you doing this on your own still at this point? You had, yeah, not partnered up with anyone. Okay, no. So you had an idea. What was the idea you were going to do?
I don't even remember. So it was like I had so many ideas, but they were all app ideas.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, before I can even start fleshing out any ideas, I need to learn how to make like a basic something, right? And so it was a social network, right?
Oh,
which,
okay,
now I know, right? But anyway, I found this guy who's like a coder. It kind of worked out. He had kind of worked at CERN for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
He was from Pakistan, then lived in the US. I met him at a startup weekend, but he was kind of flaky, so he flaked out and I kept building myself. And
were you building on his code in some ways?
No, I just wrote my own.
You just,
yeah,
went on your own. But did you get concepts from him? Conceptual was the word I was going to go, because you would think that an experienced programmer would know, hey, you do it this way,
yeah,
you go this direction. No, you were on your own.
Yeah, in my mind, like, and it's usually best for scalability, but my thinking about these things are always really simple. I think that I can find a really quick path to like getting it done. It may not be the prettiest, like from a coding standpoint, but it will serve the purpose.
But isn't it in computer world, first to market, fastest,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
quite frankly, because you can always pretty it up later on.
Right.
Right. The prettiest software that doesn't work is still worth nothing, right?
Exactly.
If it works and it's crap, well, look at Craigslist, right? It still looks like crap,
yep,
right?
Yep, yeah.
Yet now how much is it worth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's function is really,
yep,
function over form.
Right. Right. And I could still make things look pretty good. It was like from a development standpoint, things were, you know, you'd have to be a developer to know, but I'm editing live code, like in production code, which is like a big no-no, because if you make a mistake, then the whole website or something is down.
Wow.
Like stuff like that. But yeah, I was
just... And
you
didn't have fear over that?
I had messed up enough times that I like was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either I can fix it really quickly, or I can check everything off my list really quick so that I know I'm good to go.
Was that the way you always were growing up? I mean, is that how, you know, you get through high school? I mean, I have a brother, and he was the guy who never had to study for a test. Literally,
yeah,
he would just go take the test, and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, he never did anything. Just literally go take the test.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you that guy?
Yeah, yeah. Like, college was pretty easy. Like, I, you know, didn't really do much, and I had a 3.7 or something, and it was, yeah. Like, I just, like, I think that I can conceptualize well or something,
okay,
like that,
yeah,
or,
that's a skill
or connect that.
Does it, looking back, the fact that you have a 3.7 and it was easy and you weren't really being challenged, let's be fair.
Yeah.
Is that part of the reason you left too? In addition, yeah, to having this other thing. I mean, but was it like, I mean, because that's a big deal. Like in my world, my age,
yeah,
no way. You would either finish or you failed.
Right.
Period. You gave up, you failed. That was it. You're going to have to go swing a hammer now, Steve. I mean, that was literally what you would be told.
Yeah.
In today's day and age, and you know, you've only been in school for a few years, in today's day and age, it's not that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely wasn't challenged. I think that there were definitely some classes that were just so kind of like moronic that I was developing these apps around this technology called iBeacon, where essentially you can pinpoint a phone's location using these Bluetooth 4.0 devices. And so I was, you know, you walk up to Albert Einstein, and because of these little Bluetooth devices, I know exactly where you're at, and then Albert Einstein starts talking to you out of your phone, and like turn by turn navigation. Home Depot's using this kind of stuff in their stores.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That tells the inventory, tells them right where everything is. Yeah. It makes it, quite frankly, it dumbs down the employee, yeah. Right? It really does. So, or the customer.
So I was building that and it was brand new. And so I had like built an app and then I was like trying to push it. And, yeah, I felt like I was just wasting my time in class because these classes were like so dumb. There's this professor who like openly talked bad about me after I dropped out. She would do, it was like a 400 level course, and she would come in with like, she would do something different every day that was like out of the norm that you were supposed to be able to point out and like identify for whatever reason. And
like she wore a different color shoe or something, yeah, silly like that.
Or she's wearing a suit and then has like a baseball hat on. And it's just like, okay, we're not nine. You know
so
what
I
mean?
So is that supposed to teach you the skill of recognizing?
I have no idea. She would never even tell us like, hey, did you guys see what was different? Yeah. It was just like purely she would just do it and we were supposed to recognize. But if we didn't recognize, it didn't matter. And it's like that's these weird, kinds man. Of things were just like... just so stupid. And I was wasting my time sitting in class, supposed to be doing the homework. And I was like trying to build my future, basically. Like I knew what I needed to learn or what I wanted to be learning. And it wasn't that.
So at this point, you still know that you want to be, you wanted to be in marketing or in business.
Yeah.
For someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You hadn't got the entrepreneur bug yet.
Well, at that point I had. When I was coming up with these ideas.
Okay, so what started turning that.
Yeah, yeah. When I was coming up with these ideas, maybe it was probably like midway through my first semester, my freshman year, I just started to be like a little more rebellious. Like not in terms of like I was making bad decisions, but I just don't really like people telling me what to do.
You're asking why.
Right, exactly.
Like, okay, you want us to do that? Can I ask you why? Yeah. I mean, why is the baseball hat? Why? Yeah. I'm learning code, man. I got stuff I want to learn, right?
Right, exactly. Like, this is just so dumb. And so at that point, I started to feel like, okay, I don't think I want a normal job because I don't really want people to be telling me what to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, your dad, who's an engineer, went to school for a long time, very rigid degree, very rigid,
yeah.
You know, that's a rigid thing.
Yeah.
How's that conversation go?
Well, so we don't have that close of a relationship, okay. So it was...
But is he surprised by this?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay, like, so he thought you were on the straight and narrow, yeah, getting this thing. He didn't see that spark in you.
He started to see when I, like, taught myself web development, and then I like had that for a summer and stuff like that as kind of a business, and I was making websites. So he's definitely started to see it. I think that he, you know, I was doing really well in track, and he didn't want me to give that up.
Right.
Sure. As well as the school, he's like, you know, you only have a year and a half left. You might as well finish. But yeah.
Well, I don't want to beat the horse there, but I want to ask that question. This question. Do you regret leaving school? Not now.
Yeah,
I know
you've
had incredible success in that. I don't mean from that point of view. Of mm-hmm. course, that's the obvious answer. But I mean from a personal finishing something, accomplishing something.
Yeah.
Is that a regret?
No, actually, I think it's cool that I didn't, that I like dropped out. So,
because
like,
you understand that it wasn't for you. Period.
Right, exactly.
It just
wasn't
for you.
Yeah, and I think that it takes, you know, quite a bit more to like drop out and like go on this adventurous unknown than it does to like continue to finish school. Like, this is the safer route. Nothing against it. I think that most people should finish school and then start to decide what they should do. Because I think that I got lucky in so much as like something actually worked for me, that being viral.
No. I'm sorry. I'm not going to agree with you there. You got lucky? Hold on. You're 19 years old. You decide, I want to do this. I'm going to go teach myself to code. You spend all that time, you learn, you put in all those extra hours, your 1,000 hours, everybody talks about the 1,000 hours,
yeah,
you put it in at night, after going to school, after doing your, you know, practice, right, every day for a track.
Yeah.
And you accomplish it. You built a couple apps.
Yeah.
That's not lucky, dude. That's not lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I mean, one of the big things they talk about right now, I just heard this on Gary Vee. He had Adam Braun on. They were talking about that Google and Facebook do not require a four-year degree anymore. And they just eliminated that within the last few months.
Yeah.
And the big logic was, well, if you can accomplish, you know, if you can accomplish, you know, a degree, we don't really care what your degree is in. We just wanted to make sure that you can accomplish things.
Right.
That's what these companies would say. Now, in today's day and age, most employees don't stay at a company longer than 3 years. So the four-year degree and the three-year don't quite make sense.
That's interesting, right? Yeah.
And so I'd sit back and say, you know, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. I think there's no luck involved. I think that tenaciousness, that push through, that attitude.
Yeah.
It's a big deal, dude.
Well, I appreciate it. It's hard for me to see anything as, I don't know, I feel like I've just been really lucky along the way, and it's kind of been like God is like making things work and I'm just along for the ride. So that's usually how
I appreciate that. And but, you know, you get these people in your life because you put that out in your life. Yeah. I mean, I believe in that stuff too. I mean, yeah. You know, you're a jerk. You know,
yeah.
God's going to treat you like a jerk. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, that's Steve's opinion. Big, you know, my big thought. So, did you have the girlfriend yet?
Here's the thing is I was really intentional about like girls and relationships because I never wanted to get into something just because like they were attractive or something
that. Yeah.
And so like so at this stage where I was contemplating dropping out, there was definitely a girl. But
you didn't know she was the one.
Yeah, we were just friends. Like she really liked me for like 6 months, and I was like, hey, I really want to get to know you and make sure like logically that I think that this is a sound decision for us to start involving our feelings or something.
You sound like an engineer talking just like
yeah.
that. I was telling you, that's a little bit of an engineer yeah. there because you want to organize things.
Yeah, and so and then it was when I dropped out, she was her, you know, I was treated pretty poorly by a lot of people for dropping out and stuff. And her family, they were actually like really supportive. They're like strong Christian people that were awesome. She was super supportive. She's like, hey, here's my car. Like you can, like I had enough. So things that we're not talking about is like, you know, between the time that I dropped out and Bar Launch kicked off, my mom had a car repossessed. We were evicted from a house.
Oh, okay. So this wasn't a good time in your personal life.
No, it was really tough. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, so that added pressure. Did you feel, I mean, did that quite frankly help push you to succeed, do you think?
I think that, so growing up, I mean, we've lived with my mom in like a bunch of different houses, right? And we've, you know, had our electricity shut off and stuff like that. And so, you know, I'm paying so that she's had multiple cars repossessed. I'm paying some of her bills and stuff while I'm in college, like working at McDonald's.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so,
a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. And, you know, so we just had a rough like childhood. So it makes me appreciate things a lot more. And it makes me like want to work really hard, I guess. It also, like, on a kind of personal level, I view everything that like I am doing in my life as an opportunity to help people. So it's harder for me to be like selfish or waste time because I'm like, well, that is, you know, time lost helping other people or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So
you're really putting the value of your time. That's the measurement of your time, not how much money you lost.
Right.
It's the time you lost helping others.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that's pretty deep.
Yeah. And
you're what, how old are you now?
24.
24. That's pretty deep for a 24-year-old.
So that's why I don't really care so much about money, and that's why I like coming to these things. Like, I just kind of at a fundamental level like helping people.
Wow. All right. I got to take a break for a second because I'm going to collect myself. I do want to hear about how this little idea of Viral Launch gets started and how it, you know, now it's multi-million-dollar business. I mean, it's not a little business anymore. So
yeah.
We'll be right back.
You've heard me talk a lot about private label, and Andy Slammons is back with a new free course. It's the Smart Private Label course. S stands for selecting a product. M, manufacture with the right supplier. So important. Amazing photos, keyword research, and listing preparation is the A. R stands for ranking your product to the first page of search. We all know how critical that is. And then T is taking your product to the top of Amazon and beyond. This is a free course. It's going to help you get that foundation to do your own private label productness. You want to work smarter. Get it smarter. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. Tell Andy I sent you.
So
So I was very fortunate to spend this much time with Casey. I got to see him over a couple of days and watch him, how he is with people, how real, how approachable, how enthusiastic he is. That you just can't, it's almost like you wish you could bottle it. But again, he's so smart. His mind is racing so fast, he can't get it out. It's just so funny to watch him. Just, I think he wants to say every word at one shot. It's so, catchy. I mean, it's like his enthusiasm transferred to me, and I'm almost jumping out of my seats. I was so enthusiastic. Learning about him and learning about his products, I'm so excited on what Viral Launch can do. Let's get back into the podcast.
So we're back, and we're talking with Casey Goss. And we made it to the point where you made the decision to leave school. Now, you developed some apps. You made a little bit of money?
No.
Okay, so it's still no money.
Yeah.
Home's crushing, collapsing. You're feeling the pressure of that. Did you feel that getting out of school would help the family in some way? That you were going to go and earn? I mean, did
no.
you?
No?
Mm-mm. Okay.
Because money just isn't, I generally just don't think about money.
So that's a great place to be, yeah. Especially at that age. That money doesn't drive you in any way. It's yeah. a wonderful place to be. So tell me about, you meet a guy, and he says, hey, you know, you mentioned earlier that he's an entrepreneur, you got the bug a little bit.
Yeah.
And now he has an idea?
Yeah. So I was, at this point, my brother and I, he's 2 years younger than I, we had moved back to Indiana because I dropped out. I'm from Michigan, moved back to Indiana where I was going to college off of his money that he had saved up delivering pizzas. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so we're living at this house. He's kind of supporting us while I'm trying to get things going, you know, not taking a minute to eat or sleep, like
and
just
getting
working.
Things going, doing what at that point?
So at this point, I'm trying to sell the whole museum thing.
Okay.
It's so difficult. Like museums have these long budget cycles.
Oh, gosh.
You don't talk to them in the right month.
And more committees and trustees.
Yeah.
And, oh,
yeah.
I'm familiar.
And the people that make the decisions, all they care about is the art. They don't even care about the patrons, like experience. So it was terrible. Anyway, so while I'm doing that, I was also like hustling on the side, like trying to make some money here and there because I had student loans about to kick in. And like my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, she would like buy groceries here and there. Like it was really a mess. But I, like looking back, I think that I was like kind of concerned. But for some reason, I just think that I always thought that God was like going to take care of it, or like it was always going to work out or something.
You just knew it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's really hard for me to kind of feel that same emotion now.
Yeah,
but
I'm not seeing like worry and disdain when you're talking about it. You're very comfortable talking about it.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, I was really trying. I was trying everything, but like, I don't know. I just thought that it was always going to work out, I guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's an awesome place to be.
Yeah.
And did she, and obviously she's bringing you good. So she still believed in you because she saw it in your eyes.
Yeah. And so did her family, which
was a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's from, where is she from?
Ohio.
Okay. So she's from Ohio. So, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So things are going.
Yeah. So this guy, he's 2 years younger than me. We had run track together and we had some conversations. He was kind of keeping me up to date. Like, hey, I started selling on Amazon. Like, I know you're in the entrepreneur world. Check out this business that I have going. Is this Amazon business? I was like, oh, that's super cool. To me, I thought it was cool for him, but like, you know.
That wasn't you.
Right, exactly.
Well, you're not a material guy.
Right, yeah.
So buying things and selling them, you do have to have a little bit of a materialistic kind of thing. You do.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, so anyways, he's like, a month later after he shows me this business, he's like, dude, I have this idea. Like, let's talk about it. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, maybe this is something I can do on the side while I'm trying to get this museum stuff going.
Because he knows you're a programmer, right?
Yeah.
You taught, self-taught. You've actually brought a product to market.
Yep.
It hasn't sold yet, but you got a product to
right.
market. And you got, okay, so he sees some talent.
Yeah. So then he, we sit down and he's like, dude, I think that we can make $10,000 a month, like, if we do this. And I was like, holy cow, that would be perfect. That's so much money. And then I could get going with my app stuff. And so he's like, all you have to do is build a platform. I'll do everything else. And so I built it. Only took a couple weeks or so. Like,
and what was the vision? What was it going to be?
So basically what was happening was these Amazon sellers had like need to drive sales, to drive reviews, as well as to drive ranking. And so what was happening
is... For private label.
Yeah, for private label. And so what was happening was people had small email lists of their own. And so they would allow their friends to like use it so they could each get these like small little boosts. And so Jordan, my co-founder, was like, we can just create a master list that has tons and tons of people, and they're being supplied with a ton of deals, and then our customers provide those deals because they get ranking. So it's like this ecosystem that feeds itself. And so yeah, so I built a platform, and or I think probably initially it was just a couple websites, and I was like, oh, we need to have a user dashboard.
Here we are back to your level of programming. Oh yeah, I better think about that.
Yeah. So then we were like just building it out, and he was working with the Amazon sellers. He had some friends in the space. He had gone through ASM too with a couple of people under Ryan Moran, and so we were just chugging along. We were trying to get one deal every other day.
You had your role. He had his role, and at that point, things are working okay.
Yeah, things were working well, especially at first because we were super stoked.
Yeah.
And we were like making money the first month.
You were now are 20 years old probably?
I was 21.
Okay, so you're 21. You have student. You've got bills. You've got a life, right? I mean, at this point, you've got responsibilities. You have a life. The money coming in is important to you, right?
Yeah, so I kept deferring the loans. Like I was able to defer so long. And then... because like a couple conversations with these museums was like, oh, you know, we're thinking about spending $100K on this, on like an app or something like that. So then in my mind, I'm like, okay, like there's the money that I need. Now let's get this thing going. And so in my mind, it was like something is going to work here soon enough that it will take care of all these other things. So after the first like 2 months or so, we had made a little bit of money. I think we had, I don't know, $6,000 in the bank or something. Wow. And I was like, I went to Jordan because Jordan's parents, you know, have paid for everything for him. And like, he's always been well off. And like, he had a business of his own in high school because he is that type of entrepreneur. And so he just had money, you know, he has no issues. And so I was like, dude, you know, do you think we could maybe pay ourselves? Because like I had $50 in my bank account, student loans were kicking in like in a month or two, and I still had money on my credit cards, stuff like that. And it was about to be Christmas, and you know, I had this amazing girl that I wanted to maybe get a little something, you know.
She's at this point, is she the one? I know she's saying it.
She's not the one yet. No.
Okay. You're still though.
Yeah. Working we were on dating though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, all right. So we did advance to that.
Yeah.
Level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. We were dating. So we, as soon as I dropped out is kind of when we started dating. And then it was like that summer I spent like a bunch of time. I had actually made a few different apps. It was a really fun summer for me. And there were like no worries. It was like probably the best summer I've ever had.
Were you in that state of flow?
I mean, I was
completely. This was, things were rocking.
Yeah,
you're making money a little bit here. You got apps you're developing.
Yeah.
They gotten easier, I assume.
Yeah.
I assume when you do them, they just get easier over time because you build off of things and you probably have a base that you just build out and you just replicate and you say, oh, you want to sell shoes? Yeah, we could do that. Or wait, you want radios? We could do that. Or whatever. Yeah, yeah. You know, something silly.
So then fast forward. So he's like, this is the conversation of me asking if we can pay ourselves a little bit. And he's like, well, I think that we should spend that money to like continue to grow the business. And I was like, dude, okay, to be honest, you know, my mom just had her car repossessed. Like I have nothing right now. Like I don't have parents that I can ask money for. And like, there's just money just sitting there not doing anything. Like if we could just pay ourselves $600, like I would be good to go. And so he's like, wow, like I had no idea.
Wow.
And to him, he tells me now in retrospect, that was like a big wake up call to him.
Yeah. I was going to say he couldn't see it. I mean, were you hiding it?
Yeah. I mean,
So it was a pride issue for you. Maybe you were a little bit hiding it.
Well, I wasn't hiding it. It was like, you know, I just work and that's all we talk about.
Okay.
So
socially you weren't, I mean, he didn't see, cause usually you can tell, I mean, you know that you can read people, you can kind of tell when somebody's not doing so well, they wear it on their sleeve and that,
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't in that state. I don't know. But things were definitely kind of coming down to the wire. And so anyways, we were able to pay ourselves. Things were going really well at first. You know, he was coming up with ideas on how we can improve because he knows Amazon. I was just starting to figure things out as I watched what was going on with our clients, talking with Jordan. And then I started to do a lot of research because I was trying to look for competitive advantages for our clients. For example, I came up with what we call our organic URL. in like March of 2015. So I think that we were the first ones to use like this form. You know, AMZ Tracker ended up using one, and then like Zonblast did for or is. But anyways, so we came up with this URL, and like we sold it to this guy for $10,000 one time because he wanted they do like 40, 50 million a year on Amazon, and he had never heard of it. And he's like, I need to know what it is. And we're like, we don't want to tell you. He's like, I'll buy it from you. And so we're like, let's just tell him a number. He'll say
yeah,
no
he'll
to.
He'll say no, yeah.
Yeah.
$10,000 in your world said, was
send,
like
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, right? Exactly. He's like, send me the contract. And we're like, whoa. Yeah. So things were chugging along. My co-founder went on this. There was a little bit of contention here and there. I started with 40% of the business. He had 60. And then I was just working so hard because, like, that's what I do is, like, I just work, like, no TV, no anything, like, just work. And if I have time, then I'm, like, taking a course online to, like, learn something cool or something. And anyway, so then I was doing so much. He's like, dude, I think that we should be 50-50. I think that's cool. Only fair.
All right, yeah. That's cool.
He's a super cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that
so.
Sounds like a good guy.
Right. And so I was like, dang, dude, I really appreciate that. But then there was some issues. Like, he wanted to hang out and continue running track and have fun. And I'm, like, having to run this business more and more, and we're like 50-50, and in my mind that just didn't really compute so well, but we kept up with it. And then he went on this summer trip for like 3 months where he had no internet, and I was pretty bitter about it. Like, hey man, you know, we have this really cool opportunity, it's really starting to take off, and you're like half the business and you're leaving. And so we agreed that any revenue that came in, I think I got 75% of it or 85, okay, like a bigger portion. So that was cool. But I took the business from like 15-20K a month to like, I want to say around 60 to 75K a month when he came back. So it was like a significantly different business. I'd built it all around me. I'd learned how to like talk to Amazon sellers and stuff at that point.
And you had to learn how Amazon worked, quite
right,
frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't a seller.
Right.
So you had to learn, and you're learning it from a, I mean, you still have to learn how the selling side works, but you have to learn how they handle the selling
right
side.
Yeah.
That's a very different concept to a guy like me who has no clue what happens behind the scenes,
yeah,
behind the curtain. You had to learn that.
I think one advantage is I'm generally okay telling people if I don't know something. So like, I was like, this is how we help you. This is how it works. Like, here's why it works. And here's the benefits, you know what I mean? And then if you have other questions, like, I'm sorry, like, I can't help you there.
Okay.
So I think that helped.
So you have clear expectations. You
right
set the here are the boundaries. This is where this is where my wheelhouse is,
yeah,
outside of that. Okay.
And I'm not trying to BS anybody, and then there's, like, a bad taste in their
right
mouth because,
right,
yeah. So, yeah. And then, like, I never want to mislead anybody, right? And so that's why I'm like, yeah, I know this, or I don't know this, or, you know, maybe I think I know this 60% or something. So,
okay.
Anyways, yeah. And then he came back, and then this is where there was definitely some contention. Again, he's really cool guys, and I really appreciate it. But basically, I was at a point where either he was going to sell to me, drop out, or I was going to start a competitor. If he wanted to stay in school and still have 50% of the business, because it just wasn't fair to me, in my opinion. And I still had like such a good like product roadmap, how we were going to grow and everything.
Well, that's different. So now you actually, now you weren't just planning one step ahead. You're now planning several steps ahead.
That's
a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew what I wanted it to be and what it needed to be. Because, you know, 3 months of talking to sellers day in and day out, reading every piece of literature on Amazon, you know, and seeing, tracking these thousand, I don't know, we were probably doing a couple launches, one, two launches a day, maybe, I don't know. But tracking all these launches, then I was starting to really start to understand what is going on and how the space works, what makes people successful. And then we had one client that did 40, 50 million a year is like, now he's a friend, you know? And so now we're talking about what's working, what's not.
And
you know,
so he's helping you in the development side, in
right
essence, right? He's saying, you know, it would be cool if you could do this.
Exactly.
This would help my business move forward.
Yep.
And he's got big money.
Right.
And so financially, I'm sure that sounds lucrative.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so you're still partners at this point?
So we're still partners. And then basically, you know, one day I was just really frustrated. He just wasn't doing much. And I was like, all right, dude, you know, I'll pay you this much.
And you go away.
Yeah. And Or you drop out.
Right.
And, like, you need to make this decision. And so, yeah, he's basically like, well, dude, you know, I don't want you to be mad at me anymore. I totally get it. And I think that I'm definitely being a hindrance to it moving forward if I'm staying in school. So Yeah, man, like I'll sell.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about, you know, where you were, right? So here you were, you know, a high school kid kind of finding his way. You get into college, you absolutely find your way, but you had none of this formal training.
You didn't have,
you know, the business acumen to be able to get to this difficult conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a maturity that goes on. I mean, that's a different Casey. The fact that you're planning further out, the fact that you're having conversation with a $50 million seller at that same level, looking to them like there's some that you're not. You're now that same level, and then you can have that business. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, again, as I said to you earlier, this was way before we started this conversation. As a dad, that's a very cool thing because it's like you get to see your son become that man that you're so desperate as a dad trying to figure out how to keep you on the straight and narrow to not make the mistakes that I made.
Yeah.
And so when you see that, I mean, that's the moment where a dad just goes, yes, another one done. Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool. Pretty cool, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, just as a dad sitting there.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it was probably up until like 4 or 5 months ago that my dad realized, I think that he realized that it was like legitimate what we were doing or something.
Yeah.
Because it was like, we have 3 product photographers now. And I'd mentioned that we just hired a second or something like that. And he's like, oh, like people are actually, you know, signing up for, you know, buying your services if you have to hire a second one. And I was like, well, yeah.
Hello.
So,
you know, let's pause there a second. How big is the company? How big is the staff?
I think it's 24, but it might be 25. Yeah.
It's so funny. You're traveling so much. Your role in the company now is what?
Largely relationships and pushing things forward. So the team is great at managing the day-to-day, understanding what's going on, helping clients as need be, manage accounts and everything. The development team, like, yeah, everyone operates really well without me. I am more like the person that sets the vision. Like, this is what our product roadmap is. Here's where we need to go.
I mean, that's a leader.
Yeah.
I mean, for somebody who can cast a vision and then convey it to pretty independent people and get them, because they're like herding cats, to do that, that's a real leader. So you've evolved into this really large leadership. I mean, 24 people is not a small operation.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And especially because they're, you know, thinkers and, you know, coders and all those, you know. So when I think of viral launch, walk me through right now you're out here talking to people.
Yeah.
So you're getting ideas. You're seeing the questions that they're asking.
Right.
You're saying, should we consider doing this? And no, there's some things that are absolute for you. And you have identified a few things that are just, no, I'm not going to lead people there. I want to, you know, I don't want to give everything away. We want to be careful. And then the other thing I noticed too, and this is really worth pointing out, is that when you were talking, you had to talk about products.
Yeah.
You were very, very, very cautious about, no, can't go. I have a very limited channel that I can go in and talk about because you have so many clients. And I appreciate that as a client, you know, thinking that there is somebody who's looking out for me. That's a big deal. And I noticed it. So I'm just going to say that. I mean that.
Thank you.
But you're out here getting this stuff and then you can come back and teach them that. So walk me through what a viral launch. I mean, is it for this group of people? There's a whole bunch of people that are learning private label from day one. And then there's some sellers down there and, you know, some of the instructors who are, you know, selling millions of dollars. Walk me through. Is Viral Launch a program that works for pretty much everyone?
Yeah, it does. And we're trying to make sure that it continues to do so. But the majority of our focus is on, like, the large sellers. So, yeah, I mean.
It is focused
it is.
On?
Yeah.
Okay, so that just evolved to that?
Yeah, I think out of necessity and looking forward at what the market will look like in the next 2 to 3 years.
Oh, wow.
I think that that's really important.
So you're taking you're scanning where the puck's going.
Right.
And you're building the plan. I'm just telling you again, as a leader, that takes a lot of, thought and a lot of faith. Yeah. Is staff's all on board? They see it too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And that's what's fun is that the team, like, really believes in me and, like, what, you know, what I see and stuff. And so that's really cool. But yeah, so like, I mean, we built Market Intelligence, this tool that provides a ton of like,
I was just using it. It's a very powerful tool.
Awesome. Yeah. A ton of data to help you make like informed decisions. So right now we're like focused on building high impact tools and software. And so we built that out of necessity. One, because we're seeing so many people come in and their businesses fail because they have terrible products. We still see so many Garcinia Cambogias, grill brushes, grill gloves.
Garlic presses.
Yes. On a weekly basis, we see multiples of these products coming in.
And why is that? Are they just hearing a course or getting an old, like, I mean, sometimes you can listen to one of my old podcasts and what was relevant 2 years ago is not relevant today, right?
Right? And yeah.
Then they're like, oh, I got this idea.
Yeah. Oh, if he did well with it, then I can.
Right.
You know, or if he is making 100,000 with this product, I should be able to make at least 10,000, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Wow. They don't get it. So anyway, so we built that there.
And has that slowed down? Has that had the impact that you thought it would?
It's only been out for a month.
Okay. So, you're trying to slow down the path of people bringing you that stuff because it's not helping you or them, quite frankly.
Exactly. So we've only been at it for a month, so we haven't had enough time to really decide.
But I mean, I'm just telling you, I used it earlier today. There was a group of us and we won, by the way, just so I'm on record. We did win. We were able to, the fact that you can, although, I mean, it took away a whole bunch, you know, you gain confidence immediately because it's a 5-star rating. Now that's not fully vetted and I understand that, but it allowed us to move to the next phase. And the stuff that didn't, we just immediately dismissed. And this was something different too. When you said earlier, I think we were talking about brands and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And how, quite frankly, a lot of people are buying the product, not the brand.
Right.
And that data, having that, completely dismissed that. It made it so easy for us to say, oh, under 3.5 stars, just move on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it took away the emotion from it, which, you know, to me, it, from a business point of view, it makes it much more sound. And that had that impact immediately. And we used it for an hour.
Nice.
And we caught on to it that quick.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It is.
The biggest discovery, or the biggest like development from that tool, is our sales estimation algorithm. And we've learned some things like along the way that will help us make like better tools down the road as well. So like, yeah, I mean, we like, our thing is we're trying to take a really sophisticated approach in the space. So like, you know, we're not just sending out scope of works to people overseas to like build something. Like, we have really high level developers that we're paying well into the six figures.
In-house.
Yeah, in-house.
I mean, so like, these are people you get to see when you're home.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get to see and you get to talk to about their family and their kids and that. So it's more than just a transactional relationship. Right. It's a relationship.
Yeah. And they really understand where we're going, and then that helps to inform them how to build the tools. They know what we're looking for. We can sit down. It took us 2 weeks to go to figure out the math on our sales estimation algorithm, and the lead developer and I are just sitting down like hashing through this. It's actually really fun for me. I think that after Viral Launch, if I had to get a job, I would love to be like a project manager or like head of product,
like,
or something
like that. Because if you can cast a vision and then get a group of educated, not necessarily college educated, intelligent educated, you know what I mean, that to get them to follow that vision and buy into it, that's an outlier.
And I understand the tech side to help walk the developers through, like, this is how we should be thinking about this, or help understand, like, then I can really understand if there's an issue or if something's going to take a little bit longer. I understand why. But, and so, like, I mean, right now we're working with tons of these small private label sellers just getting started. I would say that probably makes up the majority of the quantity. You know, we've worked with over 4,000 brands. But we're also working with a couple Fortune 500s and like global retailers where we're, for some of those guys, we're completely managing their Amazon account for them. So
it's become, I mean, can you imagine looking back, you know, back when you were 19, 20, 21, to see where you are today? I mean, it's only been a few years. And I mean, let's face it, the industry changing tomorrow, it'll change, right? We don't know what, but it'll change, right?
Yeah.
And in internet years, I mean, it's you know, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Can you, looking back, would you do it different?
Yeah, I would do it different. We only had 4 employees like a year ago. We took so long.
That's a mistake.
Yeah. And so honestly, I was too afraid to grow the business because we were predicated on Amazon sales or ranking algorithm remaining relatively the same. So if there was, you know, a major change, that could have knocked us out. And I didn't want to give anybody a job that could be gone tomorrow.
Okay.
And give them that,
it's that
kind of
caring thing again. Yeah, yeah, right back to it.
So yeah,
there's nothing wrong with caring, let me tell you.
So but a year ago I was like, okay, we have enough money in the bank, we have a good enough understanding of the environment, like if we push hard enough, for a couple months, then we'll be good to go. We'll be diversified enough that even if there is an algorithm shift, you know, we have either enough data to adapt, or we don't need that money as much. And so, yeah.
So I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, for a small seller, so the market, the name of the tool again?
Market Intelligence.
Market Intelligence. It's, I mean, it's really inexpensive.
Yeah.
Is it like $10 a month?
Yep.
It's like $10 a month. So as a new private label seller, somebody who, especially who wants to jump in, this is really the first place to go.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
One of the key things that Andy talks about is that you really have to do the search terms and that before you go to the product. Everybody's doing it backwards.
Right.
You really want to change that. And this tool really helps you narrow down that field.
Yeah, exactly. Like you need to know how to sell something before you decide to that you want to sell it. You know, people come to us with these weird concoctions of something, and then I'm like, well, you know, what keywords can you sell it for? And they're like, well, yeah, I'm not really sure because it's not this and it's not that. And it's like, well, then no one's going to find your product.
Right, right, so, right. You have to think like other people think,
yeah.
Right? And that's really important.
Yeah.
Okay, so market intelligence, that's a big deal. What else can you do with Viral Launch?
So just about everything. So we have a graphic designer. We have 3 product photographers, 5 people that write Amazon listings. We do...
And not just write Amazon. These are copywriters. These are...
Yeah, yeah.
This is a talent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so like, you know, I always say that you have to be an expert at everything in order to be an expert at anything.
Yeah, I used that line earlier. I put it on my Instagram because I just thought that was so powerful. When you said that, I was thinking, oh my God, it's so smart. Say it again.
Nice. You have to be an expert at everything in order to be an expert at anything.
At anything.
Yeah. And it's because, you know, what we see is like people, you know, there's these listing writing services and it's like, yeah, this person, you know, has an English major, right? Or they've written copy for like other projects or something. But what they don't understand is actually the content of an Amazon listing is a lot more scientific than it is creative.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like after the 5th word in your title, you have to have a colon or a hyphen because that helps your Google SEO. But if you have a colon in your bullet points, largely it hurts indexation. Yeah. And so like you have to know, like you have to
be very specific,
right? And you have to know like how sales interact with the content of a listing to know what keywords or what content to be putting in that listing, right? And we're tracking, you know, we've tracked over 10,000 launches, and we are tracking the content of the listing. We're tracking how many sales were driven and what is the keyword ranking result.
So you're continually fine-tuning things that you thought would happen, and then they actually happened. Okay, more of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we thought it would happen and it didn't happen. Okay, we've got to tweak and adjust. Right. To try to take that into consideration.
Or there's an algorithm shift, and then we can go back in the data and see, oh, wow, like this is what's actually happening.
And that's what caused it, right?
Right.
So when you see something weird go on, you usually go back and then you can track and say, all right, something did change outside of your control, but you just can't give up. You got to adapt.
Right, exactly.
And that's what Viral Launch does.
Exactly, and that's why, you know, people want to like nickel and dime things, and that's a really bad position to be in. The more aggressive you can be, and like I say that you need to get into a market where you have enough money to push the marketing components to do everything well. As soon as you're cutting corners, you're really cutting yourself short,
right,
and
right.
Because everybody else isn't cutting corners, that puts you at a severe disadvantage, and it's going to make achieving success so much more difficult. And that's one of the biggest mistakes we see people make.
And in today's day and age, as fast as products are coming to market, as fast as competitors are coming into your
right.
industry, you have no choice but to adapt, and you have to be faster. So, you know, you're buying time, as I always like to use that phrase, in essence, by taking these services. You have to buy time
because
your competitor, if you don't, your competitor will. And so you say that you have to have enough money to really launch a product.
Yeah.
Have you guys figured out what it takes? I mean, I guess it depends, right? If I'm trying to enter the car market, that would be a little more difficult than the water bottle market, right?
Yeah.
Although the brands in the water bottle market would probably make it pretty challenging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really contingent on the numbers in that market. So, like, you know, let's say you have a $5,000 budget total for your private label business, right? So we would want to say, okay, make sure that when sourcing, you want to get 2.5, depending on, there's all these factors, right? But depending on how long it takes for you to place an order and then that inventory to get into FBA, let's say it's 2 months. So you want to order at least, you know, 3 months of inventory plus units to give away. And so that needs to fit into like $3,000 so that you can still have $2,000 to build the listing. If you're going to build it yourself, that's fine. The photos, pay for photos. And then you have to have money to spend on healthily on pay-per-click, on promotions, on giving products away, that you're doing that at a loss, but it's going to pay off really quickly.
Think about it. It's a marketing dollars, right?
Right.
Every time you go into a retail store and you see all those signs that are for that product and that little that kiosk on the corner, somebody paid for that, right? That doesn't, the store doesn't pay for that. That marketing company, the person who's selling their bottled water, bought that, put that in the store saying, hey, we want to help you. And, oh, here's some extra money. Throw some extra ads in your weekly newspaper flyer for us and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Those are all marketing dollars.
Yeah.
And you're basically at this point saying, look, Steve, if you want to be successful on Amazon, you've got to spend marketing dollars.
Right.
And today, it's PPC, and it's giveaways, and it's things like that.
Yeah, and like where we see people make mistakes is they have this $5,000 budget, and they spend $4,500 on inventory, and they're like, yeah, I can only spend a couple dollars a day on PPC, and I can't afford to do giveaways. I can't afford to do anything but some Fiverr photography. And it's like, well, you know, now you're at a severe, like,
You're not going to sell it. So now they got $4,400 worth of inventory because they sold $100 worth. And what do I do with this inventory? And then by then a competitor came in and took the market, right?
Yep.
And so is it better then to run out of inventory but do a successful launch? Or, I mean, this is pretty, the second part is really stupid. Not have a successful launch and have a whole bunch of excess inventory. Yeah. The second part's easy, you know.
Ideally, you just plan ahead. Like, and that's, again, kind of the intention of the market intelligence tool is to give you, provide you enough data to know what exactly you need. And there's
what,
like,
your expected sales would be.
Yeah.
What,
how many units you're going to have to give away. If you go to detailed stats, we tell you that.
How many reviews you're going to really need. Right. And then you guys know by experience what it takes to get those reviews.
Right, exactly.
And that's powerful.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I beat you enough on this. That is a separate service. So you offer photography services, listing services.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much the whole gamut.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you actually partner with people on products, correct? And you help.
Yeah.
You have stake in the game, and you live and die by the success of it. So if it does well, you benefit. If it doesn't do well, you don't benefit.
Yeah. We're just really, I mean, we've launched enough products that we're really confident looking at a market, what the probability of success is, what that success looks like, and so we're really comfortable partnering with products and only making money when you make money, because we know that, hey, we're going to make money.
So at the point when you started having these big successes, when did she become the one?
Yeah.
I don't want to miss that, because somebody's going to say to me, Steve, you never followed up. When was she the one? Because that's a hard one.
Yeah,
that's a hard one. You invested a lot in that relationship.
Yeah,
you?
She went through a really tough time with like depression, and she was like trying to get rid of me because she felt like she wasn't worth it. And maybe that was it. And like that's when I realized, you know,
you
I love this girl. Yeah,
you had your just like your partner had his wake up call, and that's real.
Yeah,
you had your wake up call.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's
so
cool. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So where is Viral Launch going next? What part of the market that you do you not see served well enough that you think you guys can do better than anyone else, quite frankly?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the only way you think about it, is you're going to do it better than anyone else.
Right. Well, so we try to be a little bit secretive, but
don't tell any secrets. I don't want you to.
There are a lot of.
Just tell us. Nobody's listening.
There are a lot of tools that, like, you know, take Jungle Scout, for example. You know, had they been doing everything really well, then we would have never gotten into market intelligence. But, like, they're just, frankly, like, there's very little sophisticated people in the space that are building software. And so there are some people that had first mover advantage, and that's why they're the name, not because of sophistication or anything like that. And so we're coming up with, or we're developing tools to kind of break that up.
Okay. All right. So you're just seeing some opportunities, and you're going to plan to keep building, because obviously your customers are asking for it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I mean, because we're managing these accounts, we know exactly what needs to be done. And again, like, that's why we want to focus on the big sellers, because we want to build to these guys. And then,
but you're not turning away the little seller.
No, not at all. Because those are the stories we love.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy tells us that he was able to quit his job for the first time because of like what we've been able to provide for him and or help him do. And like, his son was just diagnosed with autism, and now he gets to stay home and work from home with that son.
Okay.
Like,
so those
come
are powerful
on
stories.
Yeah.
And he could be the next big seller. So you
exactly.
still have that tool like market intelligence where that you can help the smaller seller and help them move along. But on the bringing the products in house and doing that whole thing, those are on the larger level.
Right.
And that's where you're building out that team to help there.
Yeah.
So best way to get information, virallaunch.com.
Yep,
all right.
viral-launch. Viral-launch.
Viral-launch.com. All right, and I'll have a link to it on the website. And Steve doesn't benefit in any way, but it's important because I literally sat here and just used the product, and I see Andy and Leron you know, just using it left to right and just saying, you know, what it's done for them and their teach. I mean, it really is special, and it's so cool to see that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
So the goal of the podcast is to help people move forward, right?
Yeah.
Give them something that you can say, hey, do this, and you can move your business forward today.
Yeah. A couple of things. One, read Viral Launch. Like, that's not a pitch, but, like, we do try to put out a lot of, like, really good information.
And it's free.
Yeah, and it's free. Talk with our coaches. They're free. But really, at the end of the day, like, success on Amazon for any one product is a function of spending the right amount of money, right? Like, you know, the Garcinia Cambogia, I can get a product to number one. It's just a function of money. And so really make sure that you're sourcing the right products and understand what makes a good product for you. And just be aggressive as possible. I think that at any given time, you should be going as hard as possible on your Amazon business, because it's getting harder. Every day it's getting harder. There's more competition, and Amazon is changing the rules. And so you need to be going as hard as possible and taking full advantage of the Amazon platform as is today, because it's going to be a lot harder tomorrow.
And you know, I want to close with this, is that with private label, it is not a go wide and not deep model.
Yeah, yeah.
That is not a model that works well in private label. It's really go deep and not wide, and take advantage and make it the best that you can. Exactly what you're saying. Yeah. But be very aggressive and be and the tools today. If you're not using all these tools, I mean, I sat there and watched Leron today. He probably had 26 apps open, and he was using them all because he was able to take and get that data. The data is what makes the decision, and so that's very powerful.
And really focus on the 80-20 rule of launching.
Yep.
We see so many people spending all this time, Facebook ads, all these things. Like, I have plenty of friends that do over 30 million. One seller, they did 100 million last year, and they spend no time on Facebook ads. They just started, like, trying to drive traffic to their website, because for every dollar spent on Amazon, you're making $10.
Right.
For every dollar you're spending outside of Amazon, you're making 75 cents.
Okay. So there's the math. All right. You heard it. That's a good one. Man, I thank you so much. I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
So another great interview with a really smart guy. And I hope you enjoy these as much as I do making them. I get so excited. I'm so fortunate. Again, Stephen at ecommercemomentum.com. If you think there's someone that you think would fit the bill, and all the bill means is they need to be interesting. I like an interesting story. And man, you can't listen to Casey and not be interested. What an exciting guy. So it's ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.